Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Chief of sinners though I be, Christ is all in all to me. All my wants to him are known, all my sorrows are his own. He sustains the hidden life, safe with him from earthly strife. O my Savior, help afford by your Spirit and your Word. When my wayward heart would stray, keep me in the narrow way. Grace in time of need supply, while I live and while I die. In the name of Jesus, amen. Once again, we're in the garden of temptation, the garden in which our Lord enters into, bearing with him or bringing along with him his three disciples, but only to be tempted. Where our Lord prays, please take this cup away from me. The cup, which is within the Holy Scriptures, an image of anticipation. Just like in the sacrament, the bread is an image of that which sustains our lives. The cup, as we find in the Holy Scriptures, images that which one anticipates to come. Both anticipation of God's kingdom, and both, at this case, the anticipation of our Lord's own passion, his own inevitable death. He says to his disciples in the garden, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." In one way we can say that today we come to witness a man's final hours here upon this earth. It's like as when you become a pastor, as when you were a pastor or are a pastor, I should say, and you enter into the room of a dying man. He's anticipating his own death. Many questions come to this man as he's lying upon his deathbed. Many times I recall when I was a hospice chaplain or a parish pastor to enter into such a room. And the question is, "Pastor, how is it like to die? What is it like? What should I expect?" And other such questions is, "Pastor, will I suffer? Will there be suffering? Will you be there for me when I suffer?" In many cases, the struggle for many Christians is not typically for the soul, that is, when I die, will I go to heaven? But the questions, their struggles, are typically not with the soul, but with the body, the idea of suffering and of death of the body. For our Lord, his struggle is not with his own faithful soul, for he prays, "Thy will be done." But his struggles are that which his flesh will bear. Not only with the marks of the whippings and the thorns placed upon his own head, but the sin that will pierce his entire body unto a certain death. In some way, we may be able to even bear a certain suffering and death in life. We can bear suffering and death perhaps if there is a certain cause attached to it, or that we can endure things within our life because of a certain faith, a cause that is for us or a cause that is for other people. I recall when I was one of the last people I had buried, Bob. And I told Bob, "Yeah, you're probably going to experience some suffering and even an eventual death." And he goes, "Yes, Pastor, I know that." But yet Bob understood a greater life not from below that is defined by his own very sufferings and his eventual death, but a life which is defined from above, a life which has been given to us as such through our Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Heavenly Father's Son, that has given us a certain life and salvation. In some way, we can put up with suffering and death, just as Bob did. But perhaps there is something a little bit worse. It is when something strikes fear in this suffering and death. Perhaps perhaps it is the element of recognizing the fact that it is only you who is dying. It is only you who lies upon that deathbed. It is you who is lying and experiencing this experience all by yourself, even though you are surrounded by all those people around your bed that are doing quite well in regards to health. It is you alone that bears such temptations and trials. It is characterized by the very nature of what sin is. Sin is not only a matter of breaking God's will, but it is a matter of separation. It is sin that seeks a wedge between us and God and all those whom we love. It is a wedge that drives us into despair and depression. You can imagine, for example, dealing with people who have dealt with great depression within our life. They turn into themselves. They don't want to go out into crowds. They question their worthiness. They find no comfort within themselves. Perhaps hell is best expressed not merely by suffering and eternal death, but an eternal loneliness apart from God and from all whom we love. It strikes the very heart of the very being of who we are and what we've become. It strikes the very nature of what Christ is in community with God the Father and the Holy Spirit within the unity of the Trinity. That he upon the cross, who takes upon himself the sins of the world, who says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For the very substance and character of sin is that which divides and separates us. Though it is, that is what we bear. Maybe sin or hell, again, is best expressed of eternal separation from God and those whom we love. So our Lord faces not only a certain horrid passion and death, but he will bear the greatest and deepest expression of loneliness as he takes upon himself the sins of the world in his flesh, that he will be excommunicated from his Father and from others. He stands alone. No wonder he uses such language as we hear today within the gospel reading, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." In other words, don't leave me alone. For that which I am a bear, I feel such great loneliness. But our Lord's disciples fall asleep and hold no such vigil with our Lord. It is only a sign of the beginning of our Lord's passion. But it is our Lord and our Lord alone who will bear such sin and such loneliness upon the cross of Calvary. Those sins that will separate him from those in whom he loves. But yet Christ dies alone. He dies alone, but only to conquer that very sin that divides us. He dies alone that we may live together in community and in love under God's mercy and his forgiveness that unites us by the blood that took upon itself this very sin of death, of separation. It is the very cross which is the very central hinge of our faith and our own life, that we know that we are united with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, that we know that we are never, ever, ever alone. But we are with God and all the company of saints. And so at times when we are suffering, when we are facing our own death, we remember that we are never, never alone because we are with Christ. We are with the company of the saints that we may rejoice because of Christ and his own very death, that we have life, but a life within the community of saints, a life that's united by the love of Christ, unites both heaven and earth. This is the joy in which we experience. This is the life in which we anticipate as we get up every morning to make the sign of the cross, not only to remind me of my baptism, as if it is some event way back, but it is the very life in which we are engrossed in, that we experience our own very death and anticipate our own very resurrection, as we're united into the body of Christ, as St. Paul says that you're baptized into the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12:13. This is our joy. So therefore, glory be to Christ. Glory be to Christ in his own mercy, and blessed is the communion of saints. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.